Thank you for tuning in to this message from Kingdom Heirs International, headquarters located in Flagstaff, Arizona.
All right. Thank you, guys. All right. We are really excited to have you back, Mom and Dad. We are excited to sit under you and receive everything that you have, Mom, to release tonight. Did everyone see on Kingdom Heirs Mom's Vox? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we...
Let me repeat it.
Yep. Let me repeat it. It said, I hope that we can grant permission for me to fly. So, what I'm excited about tonight in hearing that Vox is there were some things that we had the privilege and the honor of being able to come under Yahweh in so that we could be ready for tonight, right? Because there is order and structure in the way that he prepares our hearts and the way that he equips us to receive. Everything is in order. There is nothing he does that is happen chance or by coincidence, right? Nothing. So, the work that we've been able to do in the last couple of weeks has prepared us for tonight so that she can have a place to land, but also she doesn't have to land at all. Meaning she doesn't have to stay or come to a place where we are, but gets to be sent. And part of what's been made a way for in the work of the last couple of weeks, I'm going to go back through that really briefly, is the last 2 weeks we focused on redemption, the spirit of adoption or sonship, and that led us then into the freedom from the internal religious system of proving, right? Okay, so when Yahweh represented redemption to us, some of the things that were released were, am I trying to redeem myself? Have I allowed him to buy me back? Do I want to be purchased? Not even just from the way that we used to see redemption, because all of those things, redemption, salvation, everything had been put on the table. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, from the system that he was rescuing or redeeming us from, did we want or say yes to being purchased back? Those are things that we were reevaluating. All right, another aspect that came with redemption and that was released over you or should have been worked through you over that week was now you aren't just aware of the cost or declaring the cost, which we've known to be lip service, right? But we're carrying the cost. Okay, when you carry the cost of redemption, that means that you're carrying the cost of everything that he leads you to in your life, like tonight.
Yep.
So these aren't lofty concepts. They're applicable and real in your everyday life. And what it looks like to carry the cost in your life is tonight that you are aware that what is released over you came at a cost. We've said things like that before, but it might not have made sense to you, or you might not have carried that as your truth, because at that point you were still only aware of or acknowledging redemption. Right? It's completely different to carry the cost. So that means tonight, if you're carrying the cost, then you are fully present, fully engaged, fully aware, and you know not only the cost of what's being carried in the releasing of the word, but the cost that goes first in order for that to be released over you, which is the cost or the price that he paid for you to sit here tonight.
Yep.
Yes? Okay. Then we went back through the spirit of adoption. So once you were redeemed out of a system, the system had to be worked out of you. And we've seen the blueprint in scripture of how Yahweh would, what that would look like for his people. And it would be coming out of that system where a slave, a slave owner or a taskmaster, Pharaoh, was over them. And so once they entered his system, a father and a mother was over. And we had the special honor of that being represented on earth.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. Part of the heart behind why Yahweh does that is so that your name and your identity can be recovered under a father and a mother. That was the name that was stripped from you when you were under that other system, so that you could just be a number that produced. Right? Okay. All right. So one more thing to remember is then we moved into the opportunity to break out of the need to prove. All right. So the way we do that is by knowing our name, our identity. You no longer have to prove that you're valuable or you're worthy or validate your own existence with production. And that means that you are trained, or you are being retrained in what it looks like to make use of your time. That should also completely change the way that we're positioned tonight. Okay? So if tonight has ever, or Friday nights have ever felt like this is something I just have to do, that has been broken off of you, and you are operating differently because you are now under his system that tells you what is valuable for you to take up your time with.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. And talking about the spirit of adoption, mom and dad are back, the ones who release that over us so that we would be given back our name and our identity and our heritage, so that we could walk fully in the truth of his kingdom and who he is, and we just get more of that tonight. But I hope that the way that you are sent into releasing tonight is an overflow of us walking out a true process of transformation to be different and to have taken all of these things back, look at them that were on the table, and activate them in a new way so that you guys can go even further in what it is that he's saying, as we build on all of those things that he has gifted us with. So.
Well, I'm sure everybody can feel it. Tonight is just one aspect of a significant time in history, right? We all kind of get the sense like there's things happening that are on a historical level, and that pales in comparison to the significance of tonight and what Yahweh is wanting to do. A lot of the times we always talk about, we're about the process and not the end result. We think of those things as individuals in our own lives and as we talk to each other. But we also need to realize that as Yahweh is taking us down this path, he would say the same thing about what we're transforming into. And I want us to understand that as we go through these Torah portions, it really is his divine timing. Things that are happening in our lives, things that are happening in our communities, in the world around us, and the Torah portion that he's imparting to us is really divine timing. And tonight, the significance is, like, I want us to, a lot of times we will come with an intensity of, with an expectation of how you should posture yourself, or how you should transform your mind or renew your mind. But tonight I feel like it's different, because what mom is a vessel to release tonight is like a, I see an immense amount of darkness and difficulty intersecting with the love of Yahweh like we've never experienced it before, to the point to where we don't need to sit up here and try to rally people, because what Yahweh wants to do is pull you out of bondage and deception which by definition, deception, you don't know.
Right.
We
right.
don't know we're deceived.
Right.
We don't know the depth of the bondage that we've been under. And Yahweh's love is intersecting in such a time of darkness and difficulty and wrestling. And at the moment when you are at the end of yourself and you're crying out and you're wrestling and you can't figure it out, His love intersects with that and just pulls you right out of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's, I cannot articulate the level of significance that we get together as a family. And part of tonight, I feel like the significance is just coming together.
Yeah.
Right? Regardless of what happens, we're all here together. Right? And sometimes in the midst of darkness and difficulty, those are the times when Yahweh can speak to you with the most clarity, when you give Him an environment of community
yeah.
and love and honor and respect, and you give Him that same, you give Him that place in the midst of it, that's when He can speak to you the most clear, because we're all sitting at the Father's table.
Right.
And the Father has some things to say.
Yeah.
And when the Father has things to say at the table, that's when a family will leave either completely different or completely strengthened, or being able to leave the table prepared or equipped, no matter what they're facing, to do it in strength and in identity of the table that they just left.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think part of what's important tonight is just acknowledging that dynamic, that we are seated at His table tonight and He has some things to say.
Mm-hmm.
And the love of the Father is going to pull us out of bondage in a way that we've never experienced.
Yeah.
And so we'll have some family discussion after during Q&A and we'll deal with some things. But the paramount issue is, what is the Father saying during this divine time surrounded by darkness and difficulty and challenge and death and all of these things? What happens when His love intersects with that, and what is gonna win
mm-hmm.
in the end? So tonight you have to settle your mind and your spirit that yes, it's dark, yes, it's difficult, yes, there's wrestling, there may be tremendously great things happening all at the same time, but there's a lot of things we're all trying to deal with right now, and you have to be willing to set that aside, because I want to have a front row seat to hear what the Father is saying in the midst of this, just the stuff that we're in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So yeah. As a family, we all need to position ourselves that way, right? To sit at His feet, to hear what He is saying about all of this, and to even get with the Father, and while He's speaking, present yourself transparent. This is where I'm at. Not in a place of I know everything, but just I'm gonna lay it here on the table.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let the Father deal with that.
Okay.
All right.
Amen. So just take note that the beginning, there's permission to say, this is where I'm at. But by the end of tonight, the word that He wants me to release is, you will not be in that place in 2 hours from now. Whatever place you're at, you won't be there. Now, any word can put you in a place of regression or progression. So the prayer is that you're gonna be in a good place. I don't know until I release a word how people are gonna receive it. So I can't really give a warning, But typically with his truth comes hard to get to the joy. Mm-hmm. Or you got to go through to get to freedom. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's going to happen. This word may instantaneously deliver you, because I feel like what he wants to release is a theological, you are going to go so high, you won't know what earth feels like, even though earth is still going. So earth is going to go, but where he wants you is in a place to be able to see earth going, and you are not moved.
Yeah.
So that is what is going to happen tonight. So I'm just going to say that. Earth, here's what, the permission he just gave you is not for you. The world can say where they're at. You're going to say where you're at.
Yeah.
And where you're at is going to be where he's at. And it is I don't know how this word is going to come out, because where you're supposed to be at cannot be articulated in human words.
Yeah.
I cannot get you to a place by my voice.
Yeah, right.
But I do have a word, and I don't even know if it's supernaturally going to fly, because I can't articulate in words his goodness. I cannot articulate his words. I can't articulate his holiness. I can't articulate his goodness, especially when the world is just perpetuating the same story. The same story. But it's not your story. But I gotta rip your flesh off. I gotta get to your soul, and I gotta pull out that beaten up spirit to remind it you're not moved.
Amen.
How do you get to a place of not being moved? And I'm not talking about like a good sermon, amen. I'm talking about in the face of what has happened, you still say, my God, my God, you are just, you are perfect, you are holy. And we are not a people that wrestle question after question after question, because you know where you come from. I'm talking about that level of identity that is so grounded, nothing will shake you. It could have been your own son, and you would not be shaken. It could have been your mother. It could have been you, and you would not be shaken. Is that possible? Yes. Crazy, but yes. That's the word that I have. Is I'm called tonight to tell you how good he is. And that is a horrible word in the midst of a week like this. You mean to tell me? I mean, how many of us have wrestled all the questions that immediately put his character on the stand? I'm going to put something on the stand, and it ain't him. And I need a group of people to continually put that thing on notice, and it cannot be Yahweh anymore. We cannot put him on the stand anymore. And we've got to not, I don't know how tonight's going to happen. But I've got music. I've got an image. I just knew. I do not have the words to articulate what's happening. I like woke up, I'm telling him, I'm like, how am I going to explain what is going on? I'm having to like wrestle through it with him, and he's helping me articulate it. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to articulate it. Here's the best way for me to explain it. If I found, I think I'm pretty close to Yahweh, but if I'm sure there's someone out there on this earth that is just like think of like someone on the face of the planet that just has this intergalactic connection to like this divine goodness, they would not be able to tell me who he is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We are human.
Yeah.
We are finite. We are little, and we have a brain. So this is impossible, but it has to be possible because it's his plan. So we got to break through somehow. And I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to like break it out. I was reminded of, remember the amazing sermon, Tyler, the Uncreated Realm? Remember that sermon. If you haven't listened to it, I think it was posted on Kingdom Heirs. Listen to it, because I have a feeling that tonight, I'll just kind of go there. Numbers 5 reminds you of some things that have been said.
Yeah. Yep.
Why? because now you're going to have to do it. Uh-huh. So tonight, you're going to have to remember some things that I've said about the uncreated realm. But now that we're moving, you're going to have to do it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's where we are. All right. But before I get into this crazy revelation, that I feel like I might have to be animated, so I might have to move this and stand up and use my body because I don't know how to explain. I really don't have the words to articulate. I mean, I do. I've got pages of notes, but we're going to... Oh, what? But I don't know. All right. You guys ready?
Yes.
Okay, so before we get into, and where this is all coming from is numbers 5. I want to deal with evil, disease, sickness. I want to deal with those things in numbers that says get outside the camp.
Yeah.
I want to deal with your mindset if you have to go outside the camp. I want to deal with your mindset if your family member's got to go outside the camp. I want to deal with your mindset on, well, not fair. Yeah. I want to deal with that.
Yeah.
We're going to deal with that in numbers 5. Okay? But before we get there, I want to go through, and I do need to put my teaching hat on, and we're going to go through a little bit of numbers 4. So, Gabe, if you can put up that image. Oh, wait, don't you guys need my title?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, we are in a new tour portion. We have Cutter as host. That was awesome. Roll call is my title. Roll call. Literally, the Torah portion means let's get a head count. That's what census means. Here's my rendition. Let's get a head count of who lives in the uncreated realm.
Okay.
Roll call. Okay?
Okay.
All right. But I want to do this, and maybe you guys don't need this, so I'm just going to do it because I felt like I needed it, and maybe it makes sense to you guys. But I wanted to go through, I wanted to show this family line here, because how many of you, I really hope I'm not by myself, but if I am, it'll be good. How many of you were reading through this and starting to figure, you're starting to wonder, who are the priests? What's the difference between Aaron and Levi? Like, we're talking a lot about Aaron, but it's the tribe of Levi, and we're taking all these number counts of all these different people, but Aaron's what matters, and nobody else is a priest, and so what's the tribe of Levi, and what's going on?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I need a red thing. I'm not that tall. Okay, so this image is... Oh, sorry. This is going to get weird for podcasts. So this image is showing just the tribe of Levi. You guys remember Levi's like the top dog because he's like right there under Israel. It's part of the 12 tribes, right? So Levi's up at the top. He has... we're just going to do the sons. He has 3 sons. So the last Torah portion and the Torah portions prior have all been counts of those heads. We're not even at Aaron yet. Does that make sense? So Gershon, Kohath, and Merari are the people that are being counted under the tribe of Levi. So all of these people are priests. They're called to a priesthood, but it isn't until we get to, so when Megan was teaching, we all went over the Kohathites, right?
Yeah.
You know that really cool part where she was talking about roles and how, like, if you don't do your job, someone's going to die?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Kohathites are, like, at the center. They are dealing with the holy utensils. They're the ones that are, like, they're in the center of it. And you can see why, because we've got Aaron under the, is a Kohathite. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so, but this Torah portion, we do a count of Gershon. And so what's happening here, and then we also get a count of Merari. What you see is we're seeing the other sons in Levi that have roles in the movement of the tabernacle, but are not necessarily the high priests. So there's a difference in our Torah portions where the Kohathites, you guys remember, they took everything from the tabernacle and they carried it on their shoulders.
Yeah.
There's an aspect of that priesthood that carries things on their shoulders. The other two lines of priests carried things in carts. They were the ones that packaged everything up or got the things packaged, moved the stuff into carts, and then moved the carts.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
So not that this really, there's no, maybe there's a significance. I'm not trying to get at a significance. I'm just teaching. So so then you've got the Kohath, but then Kohath had 4 sons. under Amram is Moses and Aaron. So now you've got the lineage of the high priest, but look, all the Kohathites are priests. I mean, they're all priests, but then you have Kohath being counted in all of the inner sanctuary priests. So remember when I was talking about the number of priests? And then it says in the Torah portion that they gave an assignment. Because when you get that number, they don't need that many people to carry that part. So they all have like an assignment or a rotation, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So anyways, I just needed this as a visual as I was studying this because I'm like, wait, who's Gershon? And why are we counting the Gershon? Like, what is happening? And then I was like, wait, Aaron is the tribe of Levi? I don't know if that happened to you guys. But I had to like go backwards to figure out Levi is the tribe and Aaron is the great grandson of Levi. So we don't have a high priest until the great-grandson comes along. But when they do the count, they're counting all these generations under Levi. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So if, in case you were like, how did we get 22,000 from, well, it's because it's this whole, and then this whole tribe are priests. These are all the ones that said yes at Mount Sinai. These are all the ones that have the responsibility of protecting the sanctuary that are not the soldiers. So it's not just Aaron and his family, it's all of Levi.
Yeah.
Make sense? Okay. That's it for that teaching. Yeah, I think that was it. Anyways, did that help at all, or did I?
Yeah.
I just, as I was reading that, I'm like, wait, what's Gershon versus Levi and the tribe of Levites, and then is this a different tribe, and what's happening here? And who's Gershon to Aaron, right? It would be an uncle. So just looking at it from the family line might help you when you're reading through it and the numbers. Okay, so a couple things that I want to do to dot connect. I mean, obviously, Megan, you know, kind of calibrated us in what has been going on over the last couple of weeks. There's a couple more things I want to add to what I got from what she said, probably because I'm going to highlight something different than what she may think needs to be highlighted. So this is what I want to highlight. Kind of direct quote, but not. You can be called, saved, delivered, redeemed, chosen, given a role, and still be jealous, angry, annoyed, and skeptical.
Yes.
Kind of a quote. Pretty close. And I was like, boom, nailed it. So, we're going to get into this tonight because this is going to be the bedrock of you can have all this, still be angry, annoyed, skeptical.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not loud. But again, going back to that, you can be saved, you can be called, saved, delivered, redeemed, chosen, given a role, and still be absolutely and utterly destroyed and frustrated about the ways of the world.
Yep.
To the point where you're questioning the one who called, saved, delivered, redeemed, chose, gave you a role.
Right.
You're still jealous. Yep. You're still angry. You're still frustrated. You're still questioning. You're still upset.
Yep. Right. Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
All right. Paul, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, what is our motto? This is like Kingdom Heirs' motto. Therefore I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you were called, with complete humility and gentleness, patience, putting up with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Ruach and the bond of Shalom. That is kind of foundational to Kingdom Heirs. Well, what's crazy is that's just the beginning of Ephesians 4. Go down a little bit in Ephesians 4, and I'll read this. Ephesians 4:16. He himself gave some to be, and some to be, and some to be, and some to do this, and some to do this, and some to be a Kohathite, and some to be a Merari, and some to be a Gershon. Well, why am I not Moses?
Yep.
I don't know. Some of you are this, some of you are that. I don't know why. Even Paul, I think he knew a little bit about the Torah when he was, this wasn't a new concept to be like, in the church, some of you will be apostles, some of you will be pastors. He's saying, by his sovereignty, some of you, okay, then, but why? Why? To equip the saints for the work of service. Tabernacle? For building up the body of Messiah. This will continue. You guys, you're going to have a spot, whether you're cleaning toilets or carrying a rod, right? Like, you're going to have a spot. This is going to continue until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of Ben Elohim, to mature adulthood, to the measure and stature of Messiah's fullness. This is what I want to pluck you out of. I have to deliver a word of what his fullness is.
Yeah.
In English words.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's asking us to mature to that fullness, or we have to keep some being here and some being there. I mean, right.
Yeah.
Okay, so, sorry, I'm losing my spot. As a result, we are no longer to be like children, tossed around by the waves and blown all over by every wind of teaching, by the trickery of men with cunning in deceitful scheming. I'm going to expose some scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all ways into Messiah, who is the head. For him, the whole body is fitted and held together by every supporting ligament. The proper working of each individual part produces the body's growth for building itself in love. Sound like all of these Torah portions?
Yeah.
Please do your job. Please grab that pole. You need to go do this. You depend on this. Do this. Do this. How easy would it have been for them to just kind of take a step back and be like, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah.
What is all of the, a tent and your cloud and movement, and now I've got a roll and it's a pole, and what, you want to count me, and then we're going to move, and we're in the wilderness, and there's some kind of promised land, and what the hell?
Yeah.
But our earth and that, and then there's, and he's over here like, hello, there's a structure. You don't know anything about. Just pick up your pole.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
He's like, he's got this like grand like plan.
Yeah.
And he's like, you guys, just be a Gershon. And you're like, why?
Yep.
Yeah.
Come on.
But he... But you can't, even knowing the Bible, you kind of know the plan, kinda, but do you? Like, are we not in the wilderness being like, there's got to be some promised land, we're still in the story, right? I mean, I know every Christian says, he came, and so it's done, and yay! You guys know what I mean when I say that.
Yes.
I'm going to explain myself fully, I hope.
You're good.
But you know what I mean? Like, this can't be done. Like, this last week was not heaven.
Yeah.
So it's not done, right? So, what? So I got to pick up my pole?
Yeah.
But I'm over here like, what is all this for?
Yeah.
Especially when you get into Numbers 5. Now my family's got sickness. I got discharge. Somebody's got a skin disease. Get them out of the camp. What?
Yeah.
How easy would it be like, why did you start all this in the first place? If you're God, right? If you're God, why is there even skin disease? Right? If you're a good God.
Yeah.
See how easy? And he's over here like, and then we question him, and he's like, wait, what? Like, I feel like, Evan, has any of your character been questioned? You're like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, where did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
I am not even on... Wait, hold on. Wait, what? What did you hear? Because I'm like not even. Does that make sense? Like the accusation, he's like.
Yeah, you're so far removed.
So far removed. You don't. So I guess what I'm encouraging us is like, if you have to pick up a pole.
Yeah.
There's
a
plan.
Yeah.
Just pick up your pole. Okay? All right. Does that make sense? But Paul, how could every joint supplies? How many of us have heard that and not really understand? No, really, actually, every joint supplies the sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, someone else can die.
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
Good.
All right. Okay, I'm going to give a little word. I feel like there's going to be a lot of stuff in this. It's like little things would just come up, and I'm like, ooh, that was a good word. If we're talking about roles... and we're busy comparing, then my word for us is that comparing is the same as judging.
Yeah.
So if you're comparing, you're judging.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Our role is to supply the movement of the tabernacle so that each one can come into the fullness of their stature.
Mm-hmm.
So your role is to just be a Gershon, be a Kohath, right? It's just to be Gad, whatever. It's to be in your tribe and serve your purpose so that the function of the sanctuary can continue to move and grow so that we can all grow into the fullness of stature. Mm-hmm. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So if he told all those people to be so strategic in the movement of a sanctuary, I guess what I'm saying is it's not whimsical now. He's just as strategic to move the sanctuary. And if he did all of that, why would we be in a position to judge or compare his structure that he has to move his agenda along? Okay. All right. Another point that Megan didn't bring up that I have to bring up that she honed in on is you're either actively living or dying.
Yeah.
That was a good word.
Yep.
Here's another way to say it. Here's how I would say it. There is such a thing as a partial deliverance. And a partial deliverance is fully dying. Okay. Let me explain. You can get called, saved, delivered, and stuck in the wilderness and die. So a partial deliverance is fully dying.
That's really good, Mom.
You have to keep going.
Yeah.
You can be partially delivered
and
feel good, but if you do not take that deliverance and submit it to Yahweh and walk in alignment with his government, you will not be fully transferred.
Yeah.
You have to go from a moment to a life of alignment.
Yeah.
Okay? What's happening is you're committing to learning a new government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to know how it functions and how it operates. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping I'm going to be able to give this analogy, but what gives your identity? You've been talking about sonship and identity.
Yeah.
What gives your identity? The government you reside in. You pull out your ID card. It's not like, I'm a son of God. Right? I'm an apostle for the Lord. Your ID tells you what country and state you're from. That's it. The identity is the government you sit under, is your identity. At the end of the day, if I'm flashing my badge, I'm not telling demons I'm an apostle. I'm going to flash them. I'm from the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
I live under a government. Mm-hmm. It's a system, and I know how it operates.
Yeah.
Try me.
Yeah.
This ID, it's gonna pass your little, you know, put your eyes here.
Yeah.
Ding, ding. Go through. Right. No, I didn't do anything. I didn't prove anything. I didn't perform. I didn't have to prove I'm an American citizen.
Right,
just slap my ID.
Yeah.
You can go. Mm-hmm. Make sense?
Yeah, that's good.
All right. What does your ID say, and do you obey everything that it means what it says?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you're an American citizen. Do you act like one? Do you abide by that government? Do you sit under that government? Meaning I can say I'm an American citizen, but something's going to happen if I don't. Consequences will come if I don't. So it's the same thing. You can't just say you're in that operation or under that government. You have to know how that government operates and abide by it so that you don't get in trouble. Like, this isn't rocket science. The government's not a bad government if you break the law.
Right.
You are. The government is good. It was for your good. You break the law. We can't turn around and be like, well, the government's bad.
Right.
No, you're bad. Make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, you hear what I'm saying. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Don't forget what your stat, and then also don't forget that your status of your identification and whether or not you're in an upright status will affect others.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So does that make sense with living and dying? So I'm just kind of circling back around from the last couple weeks to kind of launch us into tonight.
Yes.
Okay. Shifting gears.
I don't know how to do this.
Um, What if I was like, this is it? Okay. Again, like I said, Numbers 5, when it's talking about, disease, discharge, which is disease, and death. Right? Those are the three things, and it's talking about going outside the camp. We've already done this. We've already heard about this. All this is we're about to move, and so up until this point, they've heard about this.
Yeah.
But now he's saying you're going to have to do it, so we're gonna have to do that because we're about to move, and we've got to walk this out.
Yeah.
So that's where we are in our Torah portion, which is why I bring up something from 2022. You've heard about the uncreated realm. Now we're going to have to live and abide and show our identification and be an upright citizen within that government system to be able to pass through.
Okay.
All right. I'm switching hats just really quick before I shift gears. A little bit of a teaching. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I did want us to just give this to you if you want to dive into it. But in Numbers 5, 1 through 10, it goes through those diseases and going outside the camp. The only addition that is given to us in this Torah portion that we have not heard yet is the concept of confession. So in Leviticus, they were not told to confess. Now they are. What they say that means is that this Torah portion, which I think is so significant, is dealing not with, remember how before it was a question of which way you go, if it was an intentional sin or a not intentional sin? Now it's basically saying, intentional or not, I care about how you respond to the sin.
Yeah.
Once it's exposed, this is what you need to do, and part of that is confession. I'm going to say it boldly. If you don't confess, it can't be covered.
Right.
You can't slap a name or his name or his blood on something that's not covered. That's not uncovered. Sorry, that's not uncovered. Does that make sense? It has to be uncovered for it to be covered. You guys okay with that? Okay. It's in Paul, or it's in a lot of the New Testament if you need to look that up. It's not my theology because I just want you to confess your sins. It's all over. I actually would rather you not, but here we are. So this is regardless of intent, once it's recognized, we are adding the aspect of confession. And here's something that's, I want us to be put on notice. We've been saying that since Numbers, we are in the wilderness, and what's been kind of the motto of the wilderness? Our hearts are going to be exposed and
purified,
tested and purified. So confession might be a big part of this. So, because now it's been added. 1 John 1:9 and James 5:16 are huge. Confess your sins so that you may be forgiven.
Yeah.
So again, it's not that I'm just forgiven because you said a prayer 8 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Like I said, what isn't confessed can't be covered. So I have on here up to this point, we've been told about things that remove us from the camp. You have had head knowledge of this, but now you're going to have to do it, and we're going to have to start to function as one body and a nation. So as we start functioning as one body and one nation, we're going to have to start doing these things. That's why I want to bring this back up and really hone on it, because we're going to have a hard time. We read about it, but what happens when you have to go outside the camp?
Yeah.
And then we've got to deal with that. Okay. So totally Yahweh within this week that we're dealing with, to me, disease and death, which is just boiled down to evil.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah.
This is where, and these diseases and death sometimes are in our control and not in our control.
Right.
So I know we did a teaching on skin disease and what it can mean, but some people just inherited skin disease and they just had it.
Yeah.
You know, that question, why did the good guy?
Sure.
So we're gonna get into that, okay? So this is where it gets hard because we've got standards and consequences. That's earth.
Yeah.
We wouldn't need standards and consequences if we were in the uncreated realm because it would just be perfect.
Yeah.
But we're not physically, so we've got standards and consequences. We're on earth. Mm-hmm. So I'm just gonna list some things. Maybe you identify with some of these. You can add to it. Maybe you won't. But I'm just going to kind of list out maybe some thoughts or some things that have been spoken just this week. This isn't fair. How could he do that? How could he expect that? If he's so good, then why is there disease and death at all? What if it's not under our control? Why should we be punished? But what if that person's a good person? Why is there evil? What about me? He's so harsh. Can't you just make an exception? I mean, let's read some of this. Because it's tell them. Some kind of discharge or contaminated by the dead, whether male or female, you are to send them outside the camp so as not to defile the camp. Basically, they're saying that person is a defilement. Get them out of here. Mm-hmm. You're so harsh. Can you just make an exception? They're a good person.
Right.
Yeah.
I know they're sick, but they're a good person. So we just make an exception.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that sounds in our minds like a good thing, but I want to pluck you out of a system.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say a couple things about Satan. Are you doing okay?
Mm-hmm.
Satan, I'm going to say a couple things about Satan. Satan is not confrontational. He negotiates. I know. It's going to get hard, and it's going to get really good. Or I hope it's just going to, maybe it'll just be all hard. But
yes!
In the end, it's going to be all
good.
Satan's not confrontational. He negotiates. If you say Satan's attacking me, no, he's not. If you are negotiating, you might be perpetuating the enemy's agenda, thinking that you're wrestling with Yahweh.
Yeah. That's really good.
Oh, my God.
We're past Genesis. We've wrestled. You have your name.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was really good.
I'm sorry. It's going to be so good. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. It's going to free you.
Oh, my God.
Woo! All right. So, this is, like I said, it's going to get hard. Gabe, I'm going to be ready for you in like a second. All right, so His Holiness is His standard. I think Megan said it's a being, it's not a characteristic trait. I'll say it a different way. It's not a personality trait, it's who He is.
Yep.
Okay, it's not a concept of Him. It's
right.
Not an idea of Him. You're
yep.
not partly holy. It's not a person. You don't exuberate a personality trait of holiness.
Right.
You're either holy or you're defiled.
Yes. Yep.
Okay, same with Him. And that's not an either or. He's just holy. It's not a trait.
Yep.
Okay? This is I promise it's going to be good. We don't like it when we have to be held accountable
right.
to that holiness. But we all want it in heaven.
Yes.
Yep.
That's what I'm after today.
Yeah.
I want to break down the theology of heaven and hell and where we are right now and where I want you to be.
Yeah.
Because this is what's happening. We all want perfection. That's all what we've been crying out for. It's all what we want. And yet what happens is we don't want to be held accountable to the standard of heaven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So going back to, can't you just make this exception? You do not want your skin disease
yep.
to become an exception. Because then heaven will be defiled, and now it's no longer heaven.
Yeah.
All you have is earth, and that's where you've been, and I'm assuming you don't like it.
Yep. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why He's good, even in get him out of here.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know it still can be confusing, but what I want to untwist is our love for perfection. Because if we don't, we're gonna try to reconcile earthly things and we're gonna downgrade heaven. None of you want heaven to be downgraded. None of you want your promises to be at stake.
Right.
Yet we do every day when we want Him to compromise on our behalf.
Yeah.
He's saying, I cannot compromise because of your futile little mind.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have a standard and you actually do want it. Your issue is you don't know how to get it right now.
Yeah. Right.
So you just
right.
want me
right.
to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to do is get us out of that and into His standard, and that would be what we express.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a little bit of an overview of where I'm going, okay? So let me ask you this question. How will every tear be wiped away under your compromise. But don't we cry out one day?
Yep.
If it's not today, it's still one day, but it ain't going to happen under your compromise.
Yeah.
So who's going to be the one to stand in a place that is already experiencing every tear will be wiped away?
Yeah.
And released from that place.
Yeah.
Instead of battling, well, that doesn't make sense and I don't understand it, but I'm still crying and I don't know and I don't, that's fine, but that's where we've all been.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want to like,
okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
But that's why we have to be so bold about a standard, because your compromised state or your wrestle or your exceptions or your questions or the things that you don't understand are going to defile heaven while you're calling forth perfection.
Yeah.
So we can't question perfection anymore. We just got to submit to it.
Yeah.
He says, there will be no sickness in my place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That should be yes and amen. Not, well, that doesn't seem fair.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, what about me? What if I get a skin disease? What does outside the camp mean?
Yeah.
And what if it happens then? And is that the, and what? It's just, yet you don't want sickness? I don't want sickness.
Yeah.
So I demand now, sitting in a place of the uncreated realm, that there will be no skin disease, and I will require it of my entire tribe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's how he's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are we waiting for? For him to come and tell you this?
Yeah.
He already told you you're supposed to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to keep going. He can't waver.
Mm-hmm.
He only... let me see how to say this. He does not have the ability to waver. I mean, really, he's so big. I mean, it's cute. Our negotiations are cute. It's cute, but he wants us to mature to the full stature.
Yeah.
So at some point, our little babies are not supposed to be cute anymore. They're supposed to be powerful, right?
Yeah.
So he can't waver because he only knows perfection. He doesn't know what you're presenting. He just knows perfection. That's why he can say, I don't want sickness. I don't want death. I don't want you to touch death. I don't want you around death. I don't want death in my sanctuary. See where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Okay. He only knows perfection. Here's another way I'm going to say it. He only knows the beginning, which means he knows the end. He knows what he knows is before Earth was created.
Mm-hmm.
Not even before humans. Before Earth was formed, he knew of a standard.
Yeah.
And in that standard, there was no skin disease. There was no death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to speak it. Because it just was.
Yep.
He only knows what was.
Mm-hmm.
To him, what is and what's coming.
Yeah.
It's all he knows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We try to figure out that from our finite definition, and we want to bring him to our place versus us going to his place.
Mm-hmm.
I want to lift you guys up so much out of Earth that you find yourself before the foundation of the Earth. I want you to be lifted up, and I want you to recognize that when the New Jerusalem comes, it's the temple of the sanctuary, and I want you in that sanctuary.
Yeah.
It's the same template. It's just above. But here. We'll get there. So we have to understand the sanctuary. Because if you do, we're going to get there. If you do have to go outside the camp, the purpose of outside the camp is for you to get back in.
Yeah.
There's a New Jerusalem coming. I want you in that camp. So, like, that's after the creation of Earth. And he knows this from before the creation. See how small you are? It's just creation of Earth.
Yeah.
And he's before and he's after the creation of Earth.
Yeah.
Don't get all weird and ask a bunch of questions. And what about this? And what about the rapture? And what about this time? What about the 1,000 years? And what about the dead people? I don't know. But what I do know, there's a New Jerusalem. Talks about it in Revelations. And I want you to live from Revelations. Or I want you to live from when he hovered. I want you to be in that frequency.
Yeah.
This is not where he is.
Yeah.
Yes. We're going to get to that though. Okay. All right. Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm not ready for you, Gabe. It's going to be a while. I'm going to do scriptures first. Sorry. Okay. I'm going to read. This is just the strategy he gave me, so you guys are just going to have to bear with me. I'm going to read maybe about 7 to 10 scriptures. I'm just going to read them to you because I want to, what I really want to make sure that I do, because I understand that this is a hard word, because I'm basically telling you, at the end of the day, I'm telling you, stop questioning. Stop negotiating. Stop. You know, I'm telling you all these, but, you know, you're going to be like, but what about, like, and I'm basically being like, don't. And I understand that that's hard. But in order for me to explain that, I really want to hone in on why you don't have to.
Yeah.
Because of how good he is. That's what I really want to focus on, even though I'm having to explain where we should be. I understand it feels like a press when I say where you should be and you're not there and you're like, but I really want to be able to show where he is so
yes.
that you'll be hungry to be like, get me
yes.
there.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, Revelations 21, 3 through 4. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is among men, and he shall tabernacle among them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them and be their God. He shall wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, nor shall be mourning or crying or pain any longer, for the former things have passed away. That is not a lofty, cool story. That's your future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the tabernacle that's coming back where you will. This is what I said. There are, I have English finite brain.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you that there is a promise for you that you will have no more pain,
yeah.
no more tears, no more sadness. He wipes it away. Because why? Death is gone. For real. I understand Yeshua has the keys. And he does. And he gave them to you. But we have been perpetuating death.
Yeah. Yep.
Because we don't know how to take his keys.
Yeah. Right.
We don't know how to do his keys. So I'm trying to empower us to actually use his keys because you won't forget that there's actually a promise that when you use the keys, there is a promise that one day you will not experience pain.
Yeah.
You will not experience sadness. You will not have any tears. And death is no more. For real.
Yeah.
Like for real, real. I mean, it's real right now, but it's for real, real. Remember how I said the old, old?
Yeah.
Like
yes.
we're in the Old Testament. We're in the
yeah.
old, old.
Yeah.
Like we're not in the new, guys. To me, the new is Revelation 21. That hasn't happened yet. So to me, this is not even the new covenant. This should be good news.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to dismiss what the, but the new, you guys understand what I'm saying? There is a new covenant and we're not in it yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have access to it. And that's what I want to train and teach you guys. Cause I think you can have this now. Okay, but we gotta, you can't, how can you have something now if you don't know what's coming for real?
Yeah.
If you, how would I, let me think of an analogy. If I said, no, I'm trying to think of like an example. If I said that there's a promise over your life, but you didn't know what that promise was, how would you practice for it? Does that make sense? Like
yeah.
if you're there's a yeah. promise over my life and you don't know what that promise is,
yeah.
what would you'd be twiddling your thumbs just waiting
right.
for a promise?
Yeah.
Honestly, when the promise comes, you'd probably kill it.
Because
yeah. you don't know what the promise is.
Right.
So I want to read these promises to you, okay? Revelation 22, 3 through 5. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb shall be in the city. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face and his name shall be on their foreheads. Night shall be no more. And people, with my sleep struggles, there is coming a day that night shall be no more, John. And people will have no need for any kind of sunlight because he is the light.
Amen.
How many of you just sit in the quiet? Vitamin D. I can't even imagine his just naked, just with the most perfect vitamin, probably D85. I don't even know. I won't even need vitamin. I won't even have to take my vitamins. I'll just be perfect. Does this mean I won't have to work out? I won't have to work out? Anyways, you guys, like, goosebumps. Okay. All right. For Adonai Elohim will shine on them, and they shall reign forever and ever. All right. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. This one's good. Are you guys okay?
Yes.
All right. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. In his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua from the dead. An incorruptible, undefiled, and unfading inheritance has been reserved in heaven for you. Doesn't that kind of sound like what he's trying to get the camp to look like?
Yeah.
So all of us say amen, right. And then he gives instructions on how to do it, and we're like, well, that kind of seems like a harsh God.
Uh-huh.
But it's not harsh when we read it for you.
Right.
When it's just given to you, but when he says, why don't you do it, you're like, All right. Unfading inheritance has been reserved in heaven for you by trusting you are being protected by God's power for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. When you see it, you'll read these scriptures and you won't have the mindset of, well, that's for later. All right, Hebrews 4, 9 through 10. So there remains a Shabbat rest for the people of God, for the one who has entered God's rest has also ceased from his own work, just as God did from his. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. Abundance of joys are in your presence, eternal pleasures at your right hand. Do you see how sneaky the enemy is? I mean, these are such good things, and then you enter the world and you're like, Ed, this doesn't feel like a path of life.
Yeah.
I don't have abundance of joy.
Yeah.
Eternal pleasures at my right hand. You just start to question and negotiate and wrestle and okay. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, things no eye has seen, no ear has heard, that have not entered the heart of mankind, these things God has prepared for those who love him. Again, there are no words. We have not seen and we have not heard. It has not entered the hearts of men. So this is what I'm trying to, I feel like I'm trying to articulate, and I can't articulate it. All right, John 14, 2 through 3. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Jeremiah 29, 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. What if you're harmed?
Yeah.
This is what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Isaiah 40, 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Joel 2, 25 through 26. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. That was a good promise. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. You're going to eat till you're full. He's working wonders for you, and you're going to be repaid for everything that's been lost. This kind of sounds like a good God.
Yeah.
All right. Isaiah 61, 7 through 8. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Anybody been shamed? And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, Adonai, love justice. This is so good when I get there. I hate robbery in the burnt offering. That's talking about outside the camp. I caught that when I was writing that scripture off. I love justice. I hate robbery in the burnt offering. In faithfulness, I will reward my people and cut an eternal covenant with them. I want you to just remember that I said that, because as we move forward, I think it's going to make sense. Because I believe the enemy has robbed us from the fullness of our offering, and that's why we're so confused.
Yeah.
And he hates that robbery, so we need to expose it. All right, Ezekiel 47, 9 and 12. It will be that every living creature that swarms will live wherever the rivers go. There will be a very great multitude of fish because this water goes there and makes the salt water fresh. So everything will be healed and live wherever the river goes. On the river, on its bank, on this side and that side, will grow every kind of tree for food. Its leaf will not wither. Its fruit will not fail. It will bear new fruit every month because its water flows out from the sanctuary. Its fruit will be for food and its leaf will be for healing. There's trees there. This is real. There's fish. You're going to heal and be healed and eat and grow things and be by a river. You're not going to have wings and just, yeah, Logan, there's land. Everything you want to do in life, you're going to do it.
Amen.
Don't ask me when.
Amen.
I hope it's right now.
Yeah.
Amen.
But when the new city comes, it's a city.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we can argue theology and everybody could say Ezekiel was talking about the time of Yeshua, but I'm not seeing rivers with fish and healing. This hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Well, let's read the promise, Revelations 22, 1 through 2. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God, the sanctuary, and of the Lamb down the middle of a great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. There's going to be new fruit every month. If you just eat a mango and you're like, ugh. Can you imagine going back to that tree and then all of a sudden it's a pineapple? And then all of a sudden it's an ube. Am I saying that right? I don't know. Right? It's real. Like, I want us to be excited about the promise because I don't think we've been taught about the promise.
Yeah.
We've been taught about the rapture and we've been taught about how you leave. And then there's all these questions. And what about this? And what about that? And you don't really even know what heaven is.
Yep. Yeah.
If you don't know what heaven is, how are you putting heaven on earth then?
Right. Yeah.
If you don't, okay. There was a quote that I heard somebody say, and they said, you claim to be a spiritual father, but you're not spiritual. Here's another way to say what I was trying to say. You claim to say you want heaven, and you don't even know what heaven is. How can you pull forth heaven if you don't ever know about it, let alone forget knowledge, reside in it, and push it out?
Yep. Yeah.
We don't know anything about heaven, so we're not operating out of it.
Yeah.
So, like, could you imagine if we started training you guys to, like, engage that river?
Mm-hmm.
Not in a worship service with three songs. I'm talking about, like, enter the river, see the fish, name them. What fruit is on that tree? Would you be a little bit different going to work?
Yeah.
Or are you going to work with, I don't understand this, and earth, and it's evil, and there's this, and there's that, and I don't know about this, and I don't know about my future, and I might die. And that is producing a frequency that is of another kingdom and is using you to perpetuate the death we don't want to see.
Yes.
We have to produce something different.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to combat what we see by engaging another realm that is real. Here's why I say that. That river is coming in real, I don't know, in this dimension. Let me say it that way. That river's coming in this dimension. That river's flowing now. If he's outside of time, that river is flowing now. It's just not in this dimension.
Yeah.
You can make it in this dimension. That's what I'm saying. Because if it's here, it's somewhere.
Yeah.
But it's somewhere. That river is somewhere, and I am encouraging you, go find it.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
But you got to know what you're looking for. You got to know what you're finding.
Yeah.
And then once you find it, you're going to have to live it. And you might have to live in that river a little longer than the news.
Yeah.
You're going to have to live in that river a little bit longer than TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to have to live in that river a little bit more than a conversation with your family.
Yeah.
We're going to have to learn to live here.
Yes. Yeah.
But why not start? It's your future.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
All right. These are some good promises. Habakkuk 2:3. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. You guys good?
Yes.
Okay. Then on top of all those scriptures, you have Yeshua who shows up and he keeps saying the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. All the scriptures that say you're a new creation in him. When? Later? No, now. Right? And we're seated where? At the right hand of the Father. Now. Not later. Now. So you got all that too.
Yeah.
I was talking about things that are actually going to happen later in this dimension. Okay. You guys okay?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Yeah. So now. Yeshua constantly says now. He doesn't say before.
Yeah.
And he doesn't say later.
Yeah.
So. Let's go back to time a little bit. So you've got chronos time. So every time I say before, later, and now, I'm talking in chronos time because it's what we understand. But what I want us to recognize is that the uncreated realm is above all of it.
Yeah.
Definitely is kairos, but kairos is more for you to acknowledge that time. I mean, there's not even kairos in uncreated. It's just... So there's a dimension that's higher than all of this. We've got to learn that dimension. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So I'm just going to say a couple of things, and I've kind of been saying this as I've gone along, but we read all those scriptures and we say, I read that, but. Like, could we be at a place where you just read, there's a river, and you're like, yes and amen, instead of like, well, where and what? And I don't know. I learned back then that it was just there's a river.
Yeah.
Like, to be that obedient.
Yeah.
And I. Yeah. No, that will come. Does that make sense? I read that, but is what we do.
Yeah.
We start to negotiate. But I don't see that. Right? You're battling this. You're trying to engage the river, and you're like, but that's not how my day is going.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't see it. It doesn't work. Mom, I spent an hour at that river, and the first thing that happened, I got cut off. I was driving and I just got cut off, right? That's the first thing that happens. It didn't work. I just don't understand. I don't understand Revelations. There's a river and there's fish and I don't know. It's coming out of a sanctuary. It doesn't even make any sense. I don't get it. That was for then. You read the scripture. Yeah, well, that was for then. Or just straight doubt. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just straight. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or straight, who cares? You're so, whatever. No, you're not even hungry anymore. You're just.
Yeah.
Man, I listened to too much stuff. There's like all this stuff laying around in my head. Never mind. Right? Just straight, who cares? I'm saved.
Yeah.
I'm saved from hell. Who cares? Here's a big one. That's for later.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great, but that's all for later.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my challenge to you is, yeah. So what? We just twiddle our thumbs and wait for later?
Yeah.
No. So going back to Habakkuk, whatever the time is, we still need to know about it, because when it comes, we might dismiss it. Okay? Are you guys all right?
Yes.
Is this making somewhat sense? Okay. Because
really
I really am after. I'm gonna. It's gonna get deeper. We're just scratching the surface, and I want to do some things with some songs and really hone in on some things, and then I'm going to try my hardest to untangle the web of deception.
Okay.
And the reason why I say untangle is because I feel like what I want to release is so intertwined and tangled that your mind is going to be like, what are you saying? Like, you're not, you may not actually understand it. And I want to make sure I'm taking the time. I know it's almost 8 o'clock, but I'm going to take the time to make sure that this unravels. Because I believe that whatever, I do believe we're leaving another system. I think actually what's happening tonight is I'm defining the system of death. So when she says it's either death or life, what's going to happen is you're going to get such a narrow definition of what death is that you will know how to choose life. Because it's one thing to say, you know, there's a partial deliverance and it's either death or life. Well, then you could leave tomorrow and be like, but what is death?
Right.
I didn't die. I'm living. I'm doing what I can. I want to define the level of the moment you think something, death. I want you so out of earth, like I said, you are in the uncreated realm that nothing can touch you in the realm of just earth. And that's what I mean. It's just so we see this more than we see that. And so it's hard for us to untangle. And I want to untangle. And I believe in the untangling. I'm probably going to release some theology, and I'm just going to be honest. I'm like looking at that because I'm like, I have a good word about just us too. It'll encourage you. At least it encouraged me, because I'm like, are we doing, was anything happening? And then he even showed me this. I'm like, all right. Okay. I'm going to release some theology that comes out of the school of Tanya Brewer. Meaning, I'm stamping it. I got this from nowhere, so you guys all just have to try. I mean, most of the time when I release, I'm very good. I mean, I recognize I gotta. I feel like he just gave me the green light, and I'm like, I feel like I'm getting into some theological stuff. He's like, go for it. I'm like, okay. So I'm just saying, like, this is, I feel like some theology is gonna just be given to you to untwist some things, but it's, you probably have never heard it before. Okay. All right. Here's what I want to do. I have Gabe. I'm going to play some songs because I want us to remember what we cried out for.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a little hard. Because it's going to expose your hypocrisy in your worship. I am making fun of all of us. I just, and these songs are great. I'm just saying it. So I'm just saying. Here's what we're going to do. If we cry holy, and then we read about it, and he says, now do it, why is there a disconnect when you were on your face 10 years ago feeling the shivers?
Right. Yep. That's good, Mom.
Okay, so these songs are going to give you some shivers, but I want you to remember what you cried out for. Because all of chapter 5, guys, you read them beyond, I'm scared. Anyways, purity in the camp. So when we cry holy, we were saying, we cry purity. And then when he calls you to purity, we're like, well, I don't know, this doesn't make sense anymore.
Yep.
Does that make sense? So I just want us to grab a hold of these songs. I hope that we go ahead and do song number one. It's called The Goodness of God. It's good.
So good. Your goodness is running out. It's running out of me.
Why'd you forget?
Your goodness is running out. It's running out of me.
In sickness?
With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything.
Do you?
Your goodness is running out. It's running out. Your goodness is running out. It's running after me.
that's it for that one. But does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
All my life, you've been faithful. So with every breath, I'm going to sing. Instead of singing from Sunday to Sunday, sing when you get home.
Yeah.
Sing when you get up. That's the dimension I want us in, that we just know how to sing of his goodness. All right, next one is called 10,000 Reasons. And you're at 40, right? Or 40 seconds. Or the beginning. You're good, Gabe.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. Worship your holy.
Not a compromise name. Holy. Believe that? About that is that's oh my soul, not your spirit. That means in this realm. Another part of the verse that we didn't get to is, for all your goodness I will keep on singing, because there's 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So again, in a week like what we've had, are we committed to finding the 10,000 reasons that he's worthy of our worship, instead of finding 10,000 reasons to complain and only one maybe good thing?
Yes.
That's the flip that's going to happen, okay? Next song, We Cry Holy. And you're at 325, right? Talking about how the earth will be filled with your glory as we cry holy. So by us declaring his holiness, his glory is what fills the earth.
Yeah.
But do we know what it means when we declare that he's holy?
Yeah.
All right. I have, you guys doing okay?
Yes, ma'am.
I have two more. The next one is Holy Forever.
Thank you.
So it's called King of All the Nations. Just little snippets. I wasn't planning on the whole song, but getting the verses of what we've cried out for, and here he is saying, and this is how you experience that.
Yeah.
Now, even if you were to argue, I'll experience that at some point later on in the New Jerusalem, then my question is, why now? What's the plan?
Yeah.
That would be like everybody in the tabernacle being like, well, I thought that there was a promised land.
Yeah.
There's a role. There's a plan that he has in place for that.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, does that make
sense? Yes, that makes sense.
Okay. Because here's the reality. We cry out, but he says this is what holiness looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, you aren't good anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're so good. Your goodness is running after me. We cry, holy, you're worthy, your majesty. You hear the generation, every tongue, every tribe, not you. Right? Generations crying out to him. And then when he says this is what it looks like, we will tend to say, well, that doesn't sound like you're a good dad anymore.
Yeah.
So that's why. Now, I'm not saying that because we just have to figure that out. I'm saying that's deception. That's why you've been lied to.
Yes.
Because what we cried out for is the truth, and it's still the truth. Something has lied to you to say this isn't good.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I'm not saying you guys just have to figure it out because he's not that good, but he is good. I'm saying he is holy. He is perfect. He doesn't know anything else. We're the problem, and something's lied to us.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. When he says, great, now, so, and, oh, here's another thing. So we cry, he's holy. What does he say over and over in the scriptures? Now you be holy as I am holy. And we say, nah, that's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But then again, we're taking something that he has said and lowering the standard because we don't think it's possible.
Right.
So essentially, you've become Satan. Because you think you know more than God,
right.
And you're telling him what he said is not possible,
right.
Through your negotiating with him or questioning him or reconciling him and not just taking him at his word. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so it's like when you say, but that's not possible, I understand in our human minds that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but I want us to get untangled from you thinking that's not really that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a mom, I recognize if he says, I want you to be holy, and you're struggling with something, I recognize that it's normal to say, but that's not possible, right? Because you don't know your identity.
Yeah.
You don't know where you're seated. You haven't received the promise.
Right.
Have you been purchased? Right?
Right.
There's all those. I recognize that. But what I want to do is get you out of the system that would keep your mind thinking in earthly terms, that would try to say something that's not in 180% agreement
with his word that when he says, you be holy as I'm holy, yes, Dad, and I am.
Yeah.
Not, but.
Yeah.
Does that make sense what I'm saying? Like, I want you guys to hear me. I'm not trying to condemn, like, if we question, but I want us to get out of the questioning system and just know that he's good or know that he's perfect so that we can get untangled from the thing that has told you you're supposed to question that.
Yeah.
Because in his mind, it's so far removed, he'd be like, what do you mean you're not holy? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right. This is kind of the beginning of the revelation where I want to take us deeper. And this is the part that I don't know how to articulate. So I'm just going to ask a question. Are we living in heaven? No. But yet Numbers 5 is really hard to live under. Right? Like we're not, but then Numbers 5 says how to be pure. So this is the way to perfection. So like I said before, I want to uncover hypocrisy in our hearts.
Yeah.
So if we're not experiencing heaven, then something's defiling the sanctuary.
Yeah.
But he's giving us the instructions on how to not defile it.
Yes.
So that's what he's after.
Yeah.
But we're not going to get there if we question why he doesn't like defilement, mm-hmm. or whether or not I am defiling, or whether or not my mom's defiling it, or how this all works. Like if I'm spending all my time doing that instead of just, he doesn't want defilement, so I don't want defilement.
Yeah.
Therefore, I'm not defiled and nobody around me is going to be.
Yeah.
Like to be so bold that we can stand on the other side of this is where I want us to be and speak from that place. Mm-hmm. To where when we read this, we're not like, well, that just seems harsh. But to be on the other side and be like, heck yeah, get the skin disease out of my sanctuary.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
To be so, I don't want anything touching death around me because I don't want death in my sanctuary.
Yeah.
Like that's how excited we would be about the word
is what I'm
wanting to pluck us into. Okay. Okay. So how this revelation started to kind of manifest itself was as I was going through all of this. I think I'm just going to end up saying some things that might just be controversial and then we'll fix it later. Yahweh is not a person.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
I understand that we acknowledge Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but sometimes we can really start to acknowledge him as so much as a father that we start to bring this father relationship where if you had a relationship with your father that you were allowed to, you know, be friends with, or if you had a relationship with your father that was abusive, like you start to just take the father role and put it on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just want to do something. He's not a person.
Yeah.
Like he's not a human. He's not a person. Okay. I want to kind of explain it this way. I heard this. I don't know if I'm going to quote it right, but this is how I received it in science. Water is an element. I don't know if element's the right word, but it's a compound, right? Water. Hydrogen, O. Okay, but it has three states. So it has ice, it has liquid, and it has steam. So you have the Trinity is one compound, but it has three different states.
Yeah.
One of them is tangible, ice. That would be Yeshua. He became tangible. Ruach, probably steam, water, Yahweh, however you want to look at it. But at the end of the day, my point is that the state of liquid or the state of steam is how I want you to see Yahweh. I think what I want to do is I want us to begin to compare ourselves to the cosmos. Like he's the space of the cosmos pre-Earth's formation. Like he's, there's no words. He's a big God. He's a everywhere.
Yeah.
He's an all encompassing, he's not nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's everywhere. So when he hovered, they actually say that when Earth was created, he didn't like create something outside of himself. He actually, so if he's everywhere, this is so good. Because how many times have you related that we're on Earth and he's,
right.
Okay. He wasn't like, you're not that important. I don't know how to explain it, but it's not like he's not like hovering over and then he like formed Earth outside of himself and said, well, that's cute. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
And he carved out of himself and placed Earth.
Yeah.
You're not separated from the cosmos. You're in him.
Yeah.
So he's not a person. This is why I wanted you to understand how big he is. We can't take our questions to the guy you're in him. It would be like you being a baby in a womb and be like, Mom, why? You're just shut up and eat. Just suck the tube. Right? I mean, it doesn't make sense. You're just attached.
Yeah.
Don't talk. But does that make sense? Like Yahweh wasn't like, oh, and then Saturn, and then the other galaxies, and it's just crazy when you look out there. It's just,
yeah.
And so it's all out. It's everything you see is carved out of him.
Yes.
He actually took out himself to put you. Is he big? Yet?
Yeah.
Okay. He's not a person. He's not your hangout friend. He's the cosmos. Look at him like, if you can't understand this, like he's Saturn. So like when you're talking to him, you have to like reconcile with Saturn. I don't know how else to explain it. It's like he's just so big. Okay. He's holy. I'm gonna read the definition of holy. No trace of evil.
Yeah.
No trace of evil is what is holy. You be holy as I am holy.
Yeah.
Have no trace of evil. How wonderful that we get to be in the wilderness where he will expose and purify.
Yeah, yeah.
That one day he would say,
yes.
And we cry holy.
Yeah.
Has he ever flipped a song on you like that? Where you're crying holy and he turns around and he goes, we cry holy. It'll knock you on your face. Does it make sense what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You are holy. He's unique and like no other. He's perfect. Again, I don't have a word. Try to think of some words. Perfect is when I think of holy and I think of no trace of evil, the only word that I can kind of come up with, which is so ridiculous, is perfect. He's perfect.
Yeah.
Whatever perfection is, and we don't know what that is.
Right.
You cannot judge what perfect is.
Right.
He just is perfect and you're not.
Yeah. Right.
So we can't quite, this is the thing that's so crazy. He's perfect, no evil in him, and yet there's so much evil.
Yeah.
I'm trying to pluck us out of, but it's not him.
Yes.
He's holy. He's not evil.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we have to be attached to?
Yeah.
It's not that there is no evil. It's that he's not evil.
Yeah.
He's holy. So we got to hold on to that if we actually want to see no evil or see holiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can't keep perpetuating the other agenda because that's just what we see.
Yeah.
Because we have to know and remember that's not him.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys okay?
Yes.
Okay. I've said this before. I'm going to keep saying it. We are finite.
Yeah.
Okay? There are no words to explain this, but I'm going to say this another way. You have a brain. And your brilliant brain was created by Yahweh in his image. And you use 1.5% of it. anymore. But not that much. So you're not even using all of your brain. And you think you know anything? Yahweh doesn't have a brain. You're not rationalizing with another human who's just smarter than you. He doesn't have a brain. Your brain is already subject to the cosmos who doesn't have a brain.
Right.
So your thoughts definitely are lower than his thoughts.
Yeah.
He doesn't have them. I mean, I know that's not scriptural, but you guys know what I mean. Like, he doesn't have your English wording thoughts.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
He doesn't have he doesn't have neurons blasting thought. Okay. Right?
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
All right. So my goal is to untangle your thinking and try to reveal another dimension to get us out of the negotiation and operate from a place, and I want a full transfer. Like, I'm declaring a full transfer.
Okay.
Remember, he's also outside of time. He was there before creation, so therefore he's after creation. And again, I'm not talking about your creation. I'm talking about before the foundation of earth, before the foundation of the world, he was there. So he was there before that, and that's what he's operating from. That's what he knows. Okay. I don't know how to... I'm gonna say some things that are not right, but it's the only way I know how to explain it for us to understand what I'm gonna talk about. So let me say this. I am not releasing a heaven and hell theology, but I am gonna use the words heaven and hell because we understand hell is evil, hell is bad, heaven is perfect, heaven is awesome, we sing about it, we want it. Right, so I'm going to use those words, but I'm not releasing heaven and hell theology. Okay. The sanctuary, the tabernacle. So the tabernacle, the sanctuary, and the New Jerusalem, the tabernacle and the sanctuary that's coming. Heaven. So. Being inside the camp with your tribe and moving and being in his presence, heaven. Fully seated at the right hand of the Father, fully moving sanctuary, heaven. What's coming, heaven. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Hell, outside the camp. Anything in my sanctuary that is sick, hell. What's coming, there will be none. Like it'll be taken care of. It's gonna take some things. There's 1,000 years and there's a lot of roles on our part and there's a lot of things that are gonna happen, but at some point it'll all, that hell or that death is going to be taken care of. Does that make sense? Okay. So the reason why I'm saying this is because we're talking about the tabernacle and I want us to understand that inside the tabernacle is heaven. And we can see that because if we live from a place of revelations, it's in the city. It's in the tabernacle. It says that. You're going to be inside. So that's heaven. So if the tabernacle in the Old Testament is a template for what's coming, then we're actually studying heaven and what being outside of heaven looks like. We're also recognizing that heaven is no defilement and it's pure. And that's why I said we don't want our exceptions to happen. Because then it wouldn't be heaven. Hmm. It would just be outside the camp and it'd be hell and you'd be where you are right now. So what would be the point?
Yeah, right.
That's why he has such a standard, because he's saying, I cannot compromise and have anything that is not holy in my presence, in my place. But here's the thing. But you're God. So just make it holy.
Right.
But he says, you have to prepare the place for me to dwell.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
You are preparing the place for me to dwell. I am preparing the place for him to dwell. We are preparing a place for him to come.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it's not like he's just wandering around the city and doing a bunch of things. He said servants are going to serve him. We're by the river. We're fishing.
Yeah.
We're doing things, right? So, okay. Is that? I kind of want to just explain heaven when I'm talking about this.
I don't know if I'm going to do a good job.
Okay, here's the brux of the theology that I'm telling you. God is holy and perfect, and there's no trace of evil. Therefore, he did not cause the disease. So he does not cause death. He does not cause evil. Okay? But if we follow that line of thinking, then we also have to follow the line of thinking. He does not cause healing. And he does not cause blessing. I'll keep going. Well, I guess I can.
You're doing good.
Is it okay?
Yeah, keep going.
He is not the author of what you see on this earth. You are.
Yeah.
So, he has a plan, and he's going to take care of it all. But in the interim, he's got a tabernacle that needs to move.
Yeah.
He does have a promised land, and he does have a mechanism for us to be able to do this. He gives us the tools to do it, but the plan is us being the author in him. Because you're going to be an author regardless, but you're either going to perpetuate Satan's agenda or his.
Yeah.
So he has authors all over the world. And we're blaming God for the decisions of the authors. But if he's so big, I guess what I'm trying to say is, if he's so big, what if he's not the author of your finite circumstances? Like this is what I want us to do. I almost want us to take Yahweh and remove him from the position we've given him. Now I'm not talking about Yeshua. Yahweh's not your scapegoat. Yahweh's not your buddy. Yahweh's not your magician. Yahweh's not, I don't know if I'm making sense, but it's like I want to separate the goodness and the holiness and the bigness of Yahweh away from our earthly mind for just a minute. Yeah. Let me just take him out of a position. Because we know he's the author and finisher. We see that because he was there before earth and he was there after. But he's so big. He's the author and finisher of the destiny of earth. What if he's not the author and finisher of your homework assignment?
Yeah.
I'm trying to he's the author and finisher of the fullness of the story. You carry the pole.
Yeah.
His presence is just his presence. You're going to carry the pole.
Yeah.
He's still the author. He's got a whole game plan for the promised land. I'm not saying he's not the author, but he's not your little magician making your day good or bad.
Yeah.
So we're just going to separate them for a minute. Is that okay?
Yes.
So if God did not create evil, then he didn't create good. Just bear with me for a second and follow my train of thought. Why? Because he's bigger than that. Because even that is finite in your brain to judge good and bad, evil or good. He didn't do either. Let me give some examples. The reason why I'm wanting to do this is because what we're going to do is we're going to equate negative to Satan, positive with God. So we attach what we think is good to God and what we think is bad, not God. Or if it's bad, he's punishing us. And if it's good, he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to untangle the deception over your life, that he's good because he's good. It's not based on any circumstances or finite ways of thinking.
Yeah.
He's just perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's perfect.
Yeah.
All right. So he's neither positive or negative, right? He's not, I mean, and that's why it makes sense. The scriptures, you get too close to him, you're going to die.
Yep.
But then you get too close to him and you're gonna weep and he's gonna wipe away your tears. How do you we're trying to look at, are you all good or are you all bad? Are you harsh or are you he's not anything. He's not positive, he's not negative. Let me give an example. You become a billionaire. Is if you become a billionaire and you're rich, does that mean that God is good? And if you're poor, that means that Satan is after you or God is bad. God, thank you, Naya. No. God is above your wealth. Right? That seems easy for us to understand. He's above your wealth. He didn't decide if you're wealthy or not. You did. He's not a puppet show over your wealth. And who's to even say that being a billionaire is good and being poor is bad? Mm-hmm. So regardless, we're still putting him in a position that he's not even in.
Yeah.
He's above wealth. I'm just saying, I'm taking it another step further. We can understand that. He's above your healing. He's above your... he's above... Not above... He's just above all. It's the uncreated realm. We're talking about the created realm or the soul realm where there's a fight, right? There's demons and then this gets negative and then we kind of win and then another demon comes in and then we're over here and then sometimes it's and he's just all up here hanging out in the uncreated realm. Like it's not him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Say it that way. All right. Can you see, or at least am I somewhat explaining how to get plucked out of the questions? Okay. Oh my gosh, I don't. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Yeshua because I really want to focus on Yahweh, but I do want to talk about Yeshua because I'm not trying to say that Yeshua doesn't heal. But what I'm wanting to do is express, okay, let me say it this way. Yeshua was birthed from the uncreated realm. He became tangible. So there is no, this is going to free some of you. There's no algorithm to healing.
Yeah.
It's just a state. Yeshua didn't come to be a healer in the sense of creating that as your new idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you use him as a magician and say, but I thought you said you
right.
were my healer. Well, what happens if you die of cancer?
Yeah.
Is he not the healer?
Mm-hmm.
He came from the uncreated realm. They don't need healing in the uncreated realm. They just are healed.
Yeah.
They're not even healed. You just are.
Yeah.
Yeshua was a state.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
He wasn't...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Okay, I don't have all the answers of what all this is going to mean, but what I'm getting at is it's not we've used him as a dispensary.
Yeah.
I need this, give me this, and if not, then you're not true.
Right. Yeah.
But that can't be because he came from a place where there's no algorithm to your healing. He just was. So maybe it's your attachment.
Yeah.
Maybe it's are you holding on to his him? Maybe what like it's about
yeah.
it's you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is the issue. We're so prideful that we want to blame him for me not being healed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Versus recognizing it's not possible for him to not dispense healing. He is. He came from a realm that is full. It's me that needs to rise in maturity to the fullness of stature of who he is. So if I'm not in my fullness of stature, that's on me, or it's on the person carrying the pole or the person who's carrying the utensils that didn't do it. So I'm dying.
Because
it matters. But what happens is instead of addressing truth in us, we turn and be like, why you?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so I want to, I have on here, he's not a potion. That's what I said. He's not a potion. But how many of us have said that?
Yeah.
Well, if I just apply him. Okay, so I want to discuss outside the camp. I want to discuss outside of camp. First of all, there's a couple things. You got a question why you think outside of camp is bad?
Yeah.
Now, I know I equated it to hell, but how many of us have had a hellish day? I was outside of camp, right? Like, it's not a big deal. I had a hell of a day. I wasn't in his presence, and I wasn't walking in my tribe. I was outside all by myself getting healed. It's not bad. I mean, I know I said hell because that's not heaven. But, I mean, again, I'm not releasing the theology of hell because if I did, you'd get... I'm setting you up. Because outside the camp is hell. And hell is good. But that's for another time. I said I wasn't releasing on the theology of heaven and hell. But even hell, I will say that. You have a... Oh, you're not subject to if or not. You have authority over hell.
Yeah.
Why? Go there! Go outside the camp.
Mm-hmm.
Get healed and get back in.
Yeah.
What do you think Yeshua did?
Yep.
Got the keys and he got out.
Yep.
Then he said, you do it. And we're like, ooh, I might go to hell. Yes! Send me! Oh.
God, my goodness.
The purpose, this is, I am kind of releasing a little bit of theology on heaven and hell. The purpose of hell is for you to get healed. That fire is to refine you and get back in.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. But for now, forget everything I said. Okay? You want to go outside the camp because you do not want to be a defilement in this house.
Yeah. Yeah.
So get outside the camp. Now I'm going to even prove it to you why you're even, you're going to, y'all, you're going to run outside the camp. First of all, let's just put this in perspective. There's a tabernacle, there's a nation. This isn't the whole world, it's a denomination. They go outside the camp. Remember Yahweh?
Yeah.
The whole earth. Israel.
Yeah.
And they got outside the camp. Boo hoo! You didn't go that far. You're just outside the camp.
Yeah.
Okay? They're moving. What are they're moving too. Nobody's going nowhere. This is good news, you guys.
Yeah.
This is why we cannot, we don't have to be afraid of death.
Yeah.
It might suck for a little bit, but you're just going to move along outside the camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not good. Okay, so think about it. So they go outside the camp, and then later on, we're going to learn about Miriam. She gets a skin disease. You know, that crazy Miriam of the tambourine, like Moshe's sister. She gets a skin disease. How dare any of you guys get sick? She goes outside the camp. They wait for her to get reinstated. They wait for her to get fully healed to come back in. Okay? So, all right. Outside the camp, not a big deal?
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to make it even more not a big deal. Hebrews 13. Therefore, to make the people holy through his own blood, Yeshua also suffered outside the camp.
Yep.
So let us go to him outside the camp. Bearing his disgrace, for here we have no lasting city, but we seek the one that is to come. Through Yeshua, then, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips giving thanks to his name. What did he say in the other scripture? I hate robbery of the burnt offering.
Yeah.
When you go outside the camp, the problem is you fall into pity and go, God did this to me. Instead of get into the disgrace of Yeshua and go where he went, which is seated at the right hand of the Father in a tabernacle you have not probably experienced yet. Okay? You guys okay?
Yeah.
I'm trying to make the point. Nothing is bad.
Come on.
I understand. But there are promises. Okay? All right. So, I hope I'm going to do this justice. Ah, you turn the clock on me. There is evil in this world.
Yeah.
Wrestling with death. Again, God doesn't have a brain. So we're going to separate him for a little bit. If we question why is there death? We're immediately bringing accusation from our finite mind to a perfect eternal energy. You're gonna wrap this up, right? Because you understand. You understand what I'm saying.
I think you're doing a good job.
Okay. So this is what I want us to understand. If we fall under he allowed this, is what I'm getting at. So forget the evil part. Let's focus on he allowed this. Okay? When we do that, if we question that he allowed that, then we're making a claim that he's the author of those things. Why did he allow this means that he had a hand in being able to do something about it. So again, just to check myself on that thinking, I have to go to the other extreme. Then we also have to claim that he allowed miracles and healing. My point is when you say, God healed me, then that set, this is why I want us to untangle, because sounds like an amen. God healed me, but then you're going to be subject to right. God killed me.
Yeah.
So I'm saying God didn't heal you, because I'm not going to blame him that he killed you. So I'm separating him from that. Because another way to say it is you have the pull. So you healed you. And you killed you.
Yeah.
Yes. Healing. He created your body to heal itself. I'm not saying don't pray. I'm not trying to give like a theology. I'm just trying to make the point. All you have to do is operate and function in the fullness of your maturity and the body that was given to you, and you'll be healed. So that's why I could say you can heal yourself. I'm not saying out of self-righteousness, because I'm actually making him a lot bigger than you, which is the opposite of self-righteousness.
Yeah.
I actually think we're falling under self-righteousness by making him so under us that we've become self-righteous that I didn't do anything, you did it.
Yeah.
So we're actually saying he healed me is actually a guise to be able to set you up to say, but he killed me, which actually makes you self-righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I'm trying to untangle that by saying, be so righteous that it comes out of yourself.
Yes.
Be so in the uncreated realm like Yeshua that it just comes out of his self.
Yes.
Yes? So not self-righteous. I'm not dispensing Tanya. I'm dispensing the uncreated realm, but it's me that's doing it. So then if it doesn't work, I have to deal with that. Or I've got to deal with my tribe, not dealing with who are you, why are you, and what are you? When are you? How are you? What about you? Okay. Because he's above it all. So he's perfection.
Right.
Here's another way to say it. I hope this is making sense. If there's a miracle, you say, thank you, God. But if there's loss or no miracle, you then say, why would you do this?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
You get a blessing. Thank you, God.
Mm-hmm.
Sets you up when you get loss. Why would you do this to me?
Yeah.
I'm wanting to take us out of that whole negotiation system.
Yeah. Yeah. That was good.
I know this sounds weird, because I'm basically telling you not to thank God. But I want to empower you so much that God is so above all of this that he wants you to say, well, that's blasphemous. But thank me for activating the uncreated realm. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't. But at the same time. At the same time.
Yes. Yes.
What I am, he is.
Yeah.
There's no separate. I'm trying to get you out of separating. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to separate because he's here and I want him in here. And so it's like, if it's me, it's him.
Yeah.
So by the whole, God is good. No. God did all that. No, he didn't. I did. You guys know what I mean by that.
Yeah.
In him.
Right.
Not outside of him.
Right.
Okay. God, we're gonna be ousted after this one. I still have an encouraging word about numbers on that, but. All right, so I want us to take us out of the system of questioning and negotiating, because what that questioning does, even on the positives, this is why it's so tangled. Because good things can be evil. Good concepts can be evil. We saw that with those sons.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? You know, they're good concepts can be not, it doesn't matter. It could be a good innovation. It's not his.
Yep.
So that's what I'm getting at, okay? So when we begin to question, we've got pride, blame, victimhood.
Yeah.
I believe that I'm exposing the system of death. So now it's been identified that you either fully die or you fully live, and the system of death is being defined that if you choose to negotiate or question, you're operating in a system of death because you're not acknowledging that he is all perfect.
Yeah.
I think that's what's happening.
Yes.
Okay? Again, we want heaven. We want perfection. Like we sang the songs, we listened, we read the scriptures. We want those things. But then when there's a requirement of what that looks like, that's where it gets hard. Mm-hmm. Or let me say this, forget the requirement on you. We struggle when things don't look like it. So when earth doesn't look like heaven, then we don't know how to function. What I'm wanting to do is safeguard us that you don't come under Satan's agenda. That you would still, in the midst of death, know that he is perfect.
Yeah.
And that he is not the author of the things that we see on this earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Humans are.
Yes.
Satan, other agendas. But that's not God.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So, you guys okay?
Yeah.
All right. We want to compromise and we want to succumb to the compromise by basically lowering heaven's standard. This goes back to, can you just make this one exception?
Yeah.
How many of us have said, but they're a good person? You know, why did they get sick? They're such a good person. I mean, even just this week. Why him, right? But this doesn't have anything to, when Numbers 5 isn't saying if you're good or if you're bad.
Right.
It's talking about defilement.
Yeah.
There was defilement that happened. There is evil.
Yes.
Okay? So we don't want to compromise his standard, because then we are going to, not that we can do this, but if we compromise his standard, then basically what's happening is then we're wanting to degrade heaven while we're crying out for heaven.
Yeah.
So while we're hurting in this world, we're crying out for perfection while we're degrading it and causing imperfection in the meantime.
Yeah.
Because if he compromises on this stuff, you're going to have earth again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the promise.
Right.
You end up questioning. In questioning, you end up in a seat of judgment. You end up being a sideline commentator on what he's doing. You diminish heaven, reducing heaven to the world. And if that's the case, then just be happy with the world. If you think that this is heaven, then just be happy that this is heaven.
Yeah.
Right? But that's not the promise, right? I want us to have a full transfer that we would completely go to the other side and not question anything.
Yeah.
But serve from a place of perfection and demand it. So again, reading Numbers 5, being able to be so on fire, absolutely, I will stand on that promise that there is no death and no sickness in my sanctuary, and I expect that from everybody else I'm around.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like, well, does that make sense?
Yes.
Instead of questioning it, rationalizing it, trying to make sense of it, it's just yes and amen, and I'm so fired up, I'm going to stand on that promise and expect it too.
Yeah.
Got it?
Yep.
All right. Yeah, I said, be so bold like him to not want death or sickness in our sanctuary, first in us and expect it of our tribes.
Yeah.
So the question that I end with is, can we live from Revelations 21 and beyond? That's why I titled this roll call. Roll call, how many of us can live in the uncreated realm? In the face of death, will you stay in a place where there is no death?
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yes.
In a place where there's death, will you stay in that realm where there is no death and operate out of that frequency instead of being subject to it here and then treating him like a potion and getting pissed off that it doesn't make sense?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense because you're living in the world.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense because you're seeing something different. You've got to see the truth then.
Yeah.
You've got to... What you behold, you become. You have to be, you have to be by the river, so that when this does happen, you sound like a crazy person. When people are, I can't believe all this evil, and you are just, he enamored with his goodness and immovable, because you've been watching a different news station.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't mean to get into the details of it, because we can do it maybe during Q&A if we've got some time. But the first thing I said is, he's a martyr. Do you guys know the promises for a martyr?
Yeah.
Do you know that since I learned about the promises from a martyr, I've actually... I know. I've actually said, I'll go out like that. Because I want to raise up. Because if for some reason he comes back... And that's not gonna happen either, because I'm gonna become immortal. But let's just say, for the sake of whatever, I'm speaking for a friend. Let's say a friend doesn't make it. They don't make it to whatever, and he comes back, and they're dead. They're just asleep for the 1,000 years. I want to see the 1,000 years. So I've actually said, then let me. If I'm not gonna make it, and you don't let me be immortal, take me out as a martyr, because it's the martyrs that rise again. It's the first thing I said. He's a martyr. Celebration. Totally different frequency than the news.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Got to know his promises. The first thing I grabbed a hold of, what is his promise?
Yeah.
Okay? All right. In the face of death, will you stay in a place where there is no death by not touching it? Stop rationalizing and making sense of all this. You can't. Put the cosmos into your little finite rationale. That's touching it. The moment you take his bigness and put it into your finite brain, you're touching death.
Yeah.
Go outside the camp, die, rise, go up to your seat. When you go outside the camp, you sit at the right hand of the Father, you are back in the tabernacle. We're post-Yeshua, so you're in a different one. All right, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Messiah, keep seeking the things above. Keep seeking the things above. We've got to seek the things above. Why do we know more about earth than we do above?
Yeah.
Where Messiah is, sitting at the right hand of God. Focus your mind on things above, not on things on this earth, for you have died. You've already died. You're on the other side of death. Your life is hidden with Messiah and God. When Messiah, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Amen? During Q&A, I have a word that will kind of encourage us that we're doing good. I don't...
Yes.
They're English words.
Yeah.
We're going to have to let this sit. At the end of the day, I hope you can wrap us up. I just want us to... I just want us to... Yeshua is a vessel. He's tangible, but he came from a place.
Yeah.
That place is where I want you to live.
Yeah.
That place is above our questions.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can acknowledge how big he is, we'll recognize he doesn't even understand our questions of the questions that we have.
Yeah.
And it'll put him in his proper place for you to be able to dispense truth.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Untangle from the deception.
Say that part one more time.
Untangle from the deception?
Before, about where we're residing from, like where we're coming, where you want us to come.
Yeah, I want us to be so untangled from our, from Earth, that makes us so rational, human, low, that we would just untether might be a word, that we'd be so untethered, because we've already learned about the uncreated realm, and I believe it blew us away to recognize that he's not subject to all the soul realm or he's above all that. He's in a realm that wasn't created. It just always was, right? And it's perfect. But now he's calling us to actually do it. And you just might have to go outside the camp to get there.
Yeah.
So, and if not, regardless, then you're in step with your tribe. I mean, that's what's so crazy. I mean, if he's everywhere being outside the camp, they're acting like it's, you know. Do not look up commentary on Hebrews 13 about being outside the camp. Christianity is absolutely demonic. It is absolutely demonic. It is crazy. Leave the camp of religion. Go to his presence. And I'm over here thinking, you're making up words on what you think outside the camp is, and you have no idea what outside the camp actually means. It's like they flip the whole thing and they make it like you're supposed to live outside the camp in freedom. And I'm like, huh. It's crazy. But I don't know what I was saying. You might have to go outside the camp to get there. But understanding what that means.
Well, I think you did a great job.
You did.
And obviously, as we kind of prefaced, you know, as a family, we come to the table and it's in Yahweh's divine timing. And the way that I think about an aspect of what you just released is that If anything that she said was like shocking, like Yahweh's okay, like he's fine. Yahweh's fine.
He's above it.
Yahweh is the one that is stirring this in her to be a vessel to convey. So I want to.
He's never had to apologize for me.
No, I'm not apologizing. I'm saying if anybody's like, you know, when you're like, thank me, right? If that's bugging somebody, like we could still be minimizing Yahweh.
But think about it.
He's fine.
Where are you seated? Heck yeah, thank me. If the world needs, we don't know where we're seated. So things like that would be crazy because we don't know where we're seated. We're still low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? If I'm seated at the right hand of the Father, the world will absolutely cry out and say thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, it's, like she said, it's hard to articulate, but it's about our doing. It's about our doing or not doing. It's about our obedience or disobedience to his instructions. But we typically think it's about his doing or not doing.
Yeah.
What she's taking us out of is the way of thinking of focusing on he did it or he didn't do it.
Yeah.
Which is a deceptive place to be because he already did it. He is it. Right? He already did it. It's an invalid thing to say, will you do or will you not do? Did you do or won't you do? Because he already did it. Mm-hmm. He is it. Mm-hmm. Shifting from that place to it's about whether I'm doing or not doing. It's our connection or attachment to what he affords us to redeem us and restore us to his state of being. Right? It's like two completely different paradigms. And I think a lot of the times, like if I just speak for myself, I mean, let me be the first one to repent before him. Because this week, I typically don't think like that. And this week, I was having the type of thoughts that she was talking about. In my mind, knowing that that doesn't make any sense. But I still, you just get tired.
Yeah.
You get tired of it.
Yeah.
I was so angry, and you get so angry about things, and it's like, this is the place that I went going down the wrong road of how do you fight back, which means in and of myself, when I'm thinking of how do you push back against the darkness and all of this stuff, and why, probably the first time I've ever, maybe not the first time, but one of the few times in my life when I was like, why did you let that happen? Mm-hmm. Totally in that place of why did you do or not do, right? And I think if any of us struggle with that, I think it's because we have been subjected to the deception that has caused us to take it into ourselves,
yeah.
Take the judgment into ourselves and put him in the seat of why did you do or not do?
Yeah.
Right? It relieves me of what am I doing or not doing when he literally already did it.
Yeah.
So what's encouraging to me and in what she's releasing in pulling us further out of the depth of the system of death that we're like depths that we previously were not aware of. The encouraging thing about it is that, and I talked with our kids and some of the statements I made on Kingdom Heirs, the way that you combat or the way that you have victory or overcome the type of things that we're being confronted with is what she's talking about.
Yeah.
But we couldn't do that. Right? We're forced to fight on our in and of our own selves, which is a losing battle from the beginning.
Yeah.
But because of the exposure, right? And remember, as we step into Numbers, into wandering, what is he doing? He's exposing and purifying hearts and motives.
Right.
So this is all a divine part of the process.
Yes.
So it is not condemnation. It's the divine window of time to run to the Father and repent and say, I questioned you on why did you let that happen? And I was so prideful to not look at what I'm doing or not doing, but I'm looking at what you're doing or not doing, which means you didn't already do it. You didn't do what you said you were going to do. Right? But this is failure. We talk about failure so much. This is a point of failure. The exposure of the heart and the motives and the need for purification. That means failure is already built in.
Yes.
Look for it. Expect
yes.
it. And when it comes up, that's when he can purify the motives.
Yeah.
Right? Because I would be shocked if more than a handful of people in here was like, well, I didn't really struggle with any of those type of thoughts this week or any other week. Which, by the way, I was thinking about, this is kind of a tangent, I was thinking about it, but it really makes you think about how we conduct ourselves and how we walk. When you think about consistency, I didn't post anything on Facebook, and I'm not saying it's wrong if anybody did, but it really makes me think about the level of how can you even possibly begin to fight back against something when the death is unrelenting? It's everywhere. It's nonstop, everywhere. People are dying all the time, every day, at the hands of evil, and we don't even know about it. So what am I going to do? What am I going to do about that? There's nothing I can do about that. So I won't even go into it, because the level of exposure to heart and motives is so deep, and if you meditate on it, you will realize deeper and deeper levels of hypocrisy and inconsistency in how we're responding to the things that are going on around us, because it is in and of ourselves. So all there is inconsistency and hypocrisy. So I just, to try to bring it, I don't know if I'm wrapping this up, but try to bring it back to the original heart that was being stirred, was to change the paradigm that we've had as a result of being under such deception that we can't even see it, because we're essentially evaluating what he's doing or not doing. That's really the place that we're coming from that she's referring to, and he's pulling us out of that by this revelation to the place of he's already done it, and we are focused on our doing or not doing, and it's more about the state of the kingdom of God and what that means. Just like when she was talking about the identification, that's a powerful thing. When we cross into Mexico and we re-enter our country, or you go to any other country in the world, they don't ask you. Did you carry? Do you have this in your bag? But they're not evaluating how good you are. You just, the passport. I don't know about you guys, but when we travel with a passport and I have like an American passport, I'm like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it represents the government, just like she said.
Yeah. So you can do something. Have the proper ID.
Yeah.
Right? I said I was going to do a little tangent to just encourage us. This was just a little side thing that I thought would be fun. Because I thought somebody's going to ask me, how do we do this? Somebody's going to ask me, how do we do it? Yeah. Thank you for asking that question. The nation of Israel, was 1.5 to 2.5 million people. Now, check my numbers. This is just the concept. Okay? But the world's population was 50 to 100 million. Okay? So how are we going to do this? Start with your tribe.
Yeah.
You're not from here.
Yeah.
So here's the odds. That population of the nation of Israel to the population of the world at that time would have been 2.5% of the world. But if you look at, if you're a soldier, that was 0.006%. And if you're a priest, it's even way less, 0.022%. Okay, let me make this real for you. There's 76,000, let's just, again, check my numbers, whatever. This is what Google said. 76,000 people are in Flagstaff. That means the nation of Israel, which is all the tribes, would be 1,900 people. Guess how many priests there would be? 17. We are doing awesome! We have like 60! I'm serious! Be encouraged. This, you guys, because he's saying, what do we do? What were they doing? Build the temple! Don't!
Yeah.
The giant. They killed because they were focusing on the giant. Get your blue cloth and wrap the fork. You know what I mean? Just do.
B-O-B.
Just. You know. Just.
Yeah.
You guys
had no problem with the bricks in Egypt.
Yep. Yeah.
Build.
Come on. Come on.
Yeah. Yahweh's like, build.
Yeah.
Right? You're just the fullness of maturity. The fullness of the sanctuary. This is a sanctuary. Right?
Yeah.
So that's what we do. I don't know if that answers your question, but yeah, we can do something by operating from a different realm and building for that kingdom and not perpetuating somebody else's agenda.
Yeah.
I don't.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Sorry, John. It's 9.
That's good.
17 people. I was like, boom! Just be a priest!
Super crazy tonight. Feel like a buzzkill. So tithing.
What? Hold on a second. Where are you giving from?
Yeah.
From the, I don't know about today, and why didn't you do this, and why didn't I get a promotion, and I thought I'd have more. Why is that guy? That guy's evil. That guy's evil, and he has 5 houses, and I can't even sell my 1 house. Negotiating. I'm under Satan. So I get picked up, and I get transferred to the uncreated. It's not even created. You can give everything. Because that's just created, so it's like nothing. There you go. Sign your house is over. Clean out your wallets. It's all created shit anyways.
It's good enough for me.
Is that we have the capacity to leave the system of negotiating and like literally stop negotiating and cloaking it as wrestling, that we can stop and stop carrying on and be able to let his truth be truth. So Mom and Dad, thank you for bringing that word. Thank you for being bold and like being willing to present something vulnerable to us, because that's scary to bring a word that may or may not land, and we appreciate we appreciate you being a bold mom that will say the extreme to be able to knock us off our horse of like having to credit him. When you got into having to credit him with like goodness, then credits him with evil, and that like that entanglement is deep, and like that's like a root system. So you being bold is liberating, and I don't want you to stop. So you said like 1,000 times tonight, are you okay? Do you understand? We're not okay, and we don't understand, but we are right behind. That's the goal. Like if you yes, like you can't stop, otherwise we won't leave the systems to be able to get there. If we didn't have a mom telling us how to, like speaking the crazy, then we literally would just be stuck on earth forever, and all those songs would still be Sunday morning and 3 of them. And it won't be real. Hearing those tonight, I haven't listened to worship music in years. Listening to that tonight, like your goodness is after me. Are you kidding me? And I get to leave negotiating and time and health and not live on earth while being on earth? Like his goodness is after us. And if you didn't be bold, we wouldn't ever be here. So knock it off with, like, are you understanding? Like, just go. We're here to follow what you're releasing, because it is life and death. And it is, if we're partially delivered, good Lord, how many things am I just partially, like, ugh, that was so good. So we appreciate you being not here. And what happens when, yes, for real, when you have time.
Taste of kaimana.
Yes, absolutely. We need to liberate you and cut you from the chains that entangle you. And if it's definitely, if those are our responses, for sure need to set you free from those. So how awesome is that? That's our Shabbat, that we get to stop negotiating. So all your lists of things you're negotiating, that's what we're dealing with tomorrow in our time, right? In our encounters, in our quality time, in our marriages, in our relationships, stop negotiating, stop fighting. Like, yeah, let your yes be yes. Like, let it be done and let it, like, yeah. So that's our job. Okay, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this message from Kingdom Heirs International. If you have received insight and revelation with this message, we invite you to claim that revelation by trading on the trading floor with this ministry. You can do that at kingdomheirsflag.org. Thank you.